The Yangtze had another difference, too, from the Huanghuo. Whereas the Yangtze was a lush, fairly warm environment, the Huangho had much more severe winters, and the soils were consisted of glacial wind-blown dust, fine dust which was quite fertile, which enabled the cultivation of cereals, particularly down on the floodplain where there were floods at the end of the rainy season. These soils, just as they were in Europe with the Ban Keramik people, were easily cultivated. This glacial dust can readily be turned over with just a simple digging stick. You don't need a hoe, you don't need any massive tools to move and cultivate this light soil. So at some point after the Ice Age, perhaps even, and I'm guessing here, as early as 10 or 12,000 BC, which would make us again right up there with Southwest Asia, people in the north began to experiment with the growing of wild millet. And they appeared to do this for a considerable period of time. Did this happen as a result of the introduction of agricultural methods from southern China, or was it simply a logical strategy to cope with the problem of food shortages and perhaps growing populations in an area where the amount of land which was watered by the river was relatively small? We simply don't know, but I'm prepared to bet pretty strongly that this was, like the Yangtze, an area where people invented this on their own. Because if you recall some lectures back, we said that agriculture was no great big deal as an invention, because everybody knows that plants germinate. What was different about it was that you became permanently settled in one place and you became dependent on crops. It was the consequences which are more revolutionary, the actual invention of it. And I'm pretty sure that people up in the north were experimenting, as they were in Southeast Asia, as they were in Southwest Asia, as they were in India probably, and in southern China, with the deliberate cultivation of the soil. And once they started cultivating millet, eventually it became the dominant economy. What exactly these societies were like, what their settlements consisted of, whether the population was large or small, whether they combined hunting and gathering with farming, we simply don't know. There's been a great deal of topographical change and flooding in the Huangho Valley, and many sites of this period have been buried. Also, the pace of archaeological research in this intensively farmed area today has been slow. So there are many discoveries probably still waiting to be made, which will document the very early chapters of farming, both in the south and in the north. But by as early as 4800 BC, that's to say, after Europe had been settled by farmers, the Yangshao culture, a farming culture, flourished over much of the Huangho Valley. This culture was a settled farming culture. It flourished over an area as large as any of the early agricultural centers in Egypt and Mesopotamia. It was well established. Clearly the people who enjoyed this culture, their ancestors had been farming for thousands of years, and it was a culture which was firmly settled in self-sufficient communities. Now, these communities typically were built on river terraces, high enough to avoid flooding, and yet situated so that they could make the maximum use of the fertile floodplain soils, which were watered by spring flooding, just as they were in Egypt. This was a mature farming culture. Yangshao continued to develop over many centuries. The point is that farming was well established as early as 5000 BC. And by 3200 BC, the moment, as we will see, when urban civilization first appeared in distant Mesopotamia, Yangshao had developed a characteristic and thoroughly Chinese culture. And I stress the word Chinese. This was something very different from contemporary agricultural systems, societies in the West. This society had its own naturalistic art style, very characteristic. And expert potters who made cooking pots for steaming food, the basis of so much Chinese cuisine to this day. Linguists believe that some elements of the Chinese language may have their roots in Yang Shao's speech as well.